Count Vlad by Jenny Dooley, an Express Publications graded reader at level 4. Copyright 1996. All rights reserved. Chapter 1. A telegram from Count Dracula. It was early autumn in the year 1895. Alfred Sackville Jones and Lord Ernest Dubois were sitting in front of an open fire in Alfred's apartment. On the table lay a heap of bones, all that remained of the meal they had just eaten. Licking a finger, Alfred got to his feet.
"Now, after such a satisfying and filling meal, Ernest, my dear fellow, I suggest that we finish off with one of my very special wines."
Alfred pulled the cork from a dusty bottle and filled a glass with dark red wine. His eyes lit up as he passed the glass under his nose.
"Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Maison d'Armignac, 1880. I've been saving it for a special occasion."
"Special occasion? What are we celebrating, old boy?"
"First of all, my birthday, which, of course, you completely forgot. And secondly, the end of another successful adventure."
Alfred passed the glass to Ernest, who raised it in the air with a smile.
"Sorry for forgetting your birthday, dear boy. I've got a hopeless memory. I'm not sure I even know my own birthday. What age am I, anyway? 28 or 29?
"You're 33, and a liar. You have a brilliant memory. You know by heart everything about every bat that has ever existed."
"Ah, now that's different."
Alfred, who worked for a newspaper called The Globe, and Lord Ernest, had just returned from Norway, where they had solved an unusual case. A count and his family had gone to live in an old castle that the count's uncle had left him in his will. However, after a week, a strange figure without a head and dressed like a Viking began appearing at midnight. The Viking roared as loudly as he could and scared everybody. Naturally, everybody in the castle was very upset, which was why they asked Alfred and Lord Ernest for help. As he drank his wine, Ernest looked out through the window into the streets of London, but all he could see was smoke and fog.
"You know, Alfred, old chap, I have to admit that this is jolly good wine. You don't happen to have any more, do you, by any chance?"
Alfred poured more wine and Ernest made himself comfortable again.
"You know, I rather like this ghost hunting business."
Ernest began to laugh as he lit his pipe.
"What a hopeless actor that Viking was."
"Oh, quite terrible. I've seen better acting done by Great Aunt Agatha's church drama group. He sounded more mouse than a monster."
"What a devil! Imagine trying to frighten the family out of the castle so that he could claim it as his."
"Well, we solved that case, which makes 3 so far this year. I think we're becoming quite famous."
Alfred went to his desk and picked up the newspaper and looked admiringly at the headline. "Britons find Viking's missing head." Suddenly, he looked very serious.
"Do you believe in ghosts, Ernest?"
"I'd like to, but I'm very much afraid they don't exist. A pity, really."
"Well, I'm not so sure."
Just then, the doorbell rang, which made both men jump a little.
"Who on earth can it be at this time of night?"
A minute or so later, Alfred's servant entered, holding a telegram. Alfred tore it open. He disliked telegrams. His eyes moved quickly down the paper. A look of relief appeared on his face.
"You know, I think we're in business again, my dear Ernest. It's from, guess who?"
"Oh, come on. Don't keep me in suspense."
"Count Dracula of Transylvania."
"Count Dracula. Dracula. The name rings a bell."
"I believe you have got a bad memory, after all. Those pointed teeth. I'll never forget them as long as I live. Enough to make your blood run cold."
"Teeth, yes, of course, a handsome pair, all right. Perfect for sucking blood, eh? And those bloodshot eyes. What a funny-looking man he was. And what a frightful accent. He sounded like an old frog. Well, come on.
Alfred held the telegram under the lamp and started reading.
Dracula Village, 10th November, 1895. Will always remember my visit to England.
And particularly meeting you and your remarkable friend who knows so much about bats. I have bad news. I am dying and badly in need of your help. I wish to clear the Dracula name before I leave this world. Please come quickly. Yours, Count Vlad Dracula.
Alfred noticed the excitement on Lord Ernest's face.
How about it then, old chap? Can you pack your bags by tomorrow and be at the station by, let me see.
Alfred took the train timetable from the shelf and looked up the departure times from Charing Cross to Dover.
7:32?
A.M. or P.M., old boy?
Why, A.M., of course.
Thought so. You know how I hate getting up early in the morning.
I can always go without you.
Ernest jumped out of his chair.
No, you will not. I wouldn't miss this for the world.
All right, then. Meet you at the station at 7:15, and don't be late.
Alfred took his friend to the front door and waited until a cab appeared out of the thick fog. The next day, on the train to Dover, Alfred was reading an early morning newspaper. The headline on page 3 caught his eye.
Ernest, look at this. Vampire Count dead.
Ernest half opened his eyes and looked sleepily at his friend.
What's that?
Count Dracula of Transylvania died this morning in his castle near Vilcea, Transylvania, after a short illness. Oh, and look at this. It says, a report from a reliable source says that before his death, the Count had asked two British experts to clear his name. Good heavens, news travels fast.
Well, now that he's dead, I suppose there's no point in going on.
The newspaper nearly fell out of Alfred's hands.
What are you saying? I'm certainly not going back. Ernest, think of what you'll be missing. You might even get the chance to see the Transylvanian vampire bat in person.
Ernest's eyes suddenly came alive.
All right, you've persuaded me.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Alfred lay back happily in his seat and allowed the rhythm of the train to send him to sleep. Suddenly he woke up with a start.
Ernest, do you think we've got everything we need?
You mean passports and so on?
Well, no, I was thinking more of, protection.
Let me see. I've got my derringer, my buffalo knife, and some rope. That should do. And, of course, I was twice boxing champion at school.
Well, yes, but I was wondering whether we should have brought a cross with us and, maybe some garlic.
I had no idea you were a religious old boy. And as for garlic, I didn't know you had French tastes.
Ernest burst into laughter, which made Alfred feel rather silly. So he picked up his paper noisily and pretended to read. Ernest just fell back to sleep, dreaming he was in a coffin and meeting the vampire bat. Chapter 2. A Visit to Count Vlad. The journey across Europe was long and tiring. Ernest slept most of the day, waking at night to study the nightlife through the carriage window or read his favorite writer, Edgar Allan Poe, while Alfred read endless books about famous people in Transylvanian history. By the time they reached Vienna, he knew all there was to know about every Dracula back to the 16th century. As the train made its way deeper into Dracula's country, Alfred was just finishing the fifth and last volume of A Complete History of Transylvania.
Fascinating. It was partly thanks to him that the Turks didn't conquer the rest of Europe. They say he was a fearless officer, loved by his men.
Who on earth are you talking about, dear fellow? I wish you wouldn't always expect me to read your mind.
The first Dracula. Prince Vlad Dracula. A great chap. He had one little weakness, though. He enjoyed torturing his prisoners by pushing sharp pieces of wood through their stomach or tearing their body apart.
Charming fellow. It doesn't say anything about him drinking their blood, too, does it?
It seems that only the present count enjoys, or should I say, enjoyed human blood. Hard to believe, really. Seemed pretty harmless to me.
It was those teeth of his. Not exactly what one would like one's dear old granny to have.
Ernest, for goodness sake, how can humans suck blood?
Just like vampire bats do, dear boy, through holes in their teeth.
Oh, there's no such thing as a vampire human. Is there?
And that's what we're here to find out, dear boy, isn't it?
Sometimes you can be quite absurd. Now, let me ask this kind old gentleman when we are expected to arrive in Vilcher.
An old one-eyed man looked out of the window and pointed to the sky. He looked at him out of the corner of his good eye and asked him,
"Where are you going, stranger?"
"Castle Dracula, to help the Count with a spot of trouble. It's a bit hush-hush, you know."
At the name Dracula, the old man turned away from Alfred in horror.
Funny chap. He doesn't seem to like foreigners.
4 hours later, just as the moon was appearing above the top of the mountain, the train pulled into Vilcher station. Alfred and Ernest, along with one other passenger, got off and walked to the entrance to find Dracula's servant, who was supposed to meet them there.
"I hope he got our message. I don't fancy staying here the night."
Hardly had Alfred spoken than a crooked old man appeared from the shadows. His name was Gregory, and he wore a black overcoat, black gloves, and a black top hat. He spoke so quietly that Alfred had to bend over to hear him.
"Alfred Shackvillegons and Lord Ernest, I suppose."
"Oh, just call me Alfred. I think it would be easier. It was very good of..."
"Hello."
Alfred and Ernest followed the old man to where a black carriage and two black horses were waiting outside. As soon as they had got in, the driver set off on the last part of their journey to Dracula Castle. Alfred was woken up by the sound of horses' hooves on wood. The carriage had stopped on the bridge over the waters surrounding Dracula Castle. Then they passed under the thick stone walls. By the dim light of the carriage, Ernest caught a glimpse of the enormous old door.
"Did you see that, Alfred? A bat."
"You've got bats on the brain, dear boy."
"No, really, carved on the door. I'm sure it was a vampire bat."
When they entered the main building of the castle, the two servants were standing in deadly silence, ready to receive them. They too were in black, and their unsmiling faces looked like carved stone. Rodolfo, the Count's butler, was a giant of a man and had a large head with deep, hollow eyes. Mania, the cook, was about half his size and even older than Gregory, with a shrunken head covered in thin, white hair. As Mania took them up to their room, the sound of their feet echoed through the empty castle. She said nothing, just grunted and puffed as she slowly climbed the spiral stone steps. Finally alone, Alfred threw himself on the big four-poster bed and felt the soft velvet covers.
"I don't know about you, old boy, but I've been looking forward to this moment for weeks."
Ernest was wide awake and examining the room with his candle.
"The silence is quite scary, isn't it? This place must be full of ghosts."
"You can't scare me, old boy. I'm so tired, I'd even share my bed with a ghost."
Just as he said that, he heard a tap, which made him sit up with a start. Old Gregory half opened the door and held out a letter.
Mr. Alfred Shackville, a letter from my master.
That's funny. I thought the Count was dead.
I expect he wrote it before he died.
Just as Gregory had left, Ernest let out a cry from the other end of the bedroom.
You know, I think you've been given the Count's bedroom.
Ernest shone his candle on the portrait of the Count on the wall. The teeth were not visible, only the dark, bloodshot eyes. Alfred looked at the pillow where the Count's head once lay.
Do you mean to say that the Count died here?
Most likely, old sport. You wouldn't like to change beds, would you?
Alfred broke open the wax seal and began to read.
Dear Alfred, I feel
my life leaving me. We may not meet in this world. Whatever happens, come and see me when you arrive. I will be waiting with a warm heart. I have committed a crime, but not the crime of which I am accused. The time has come for my shame and that of others to be shown to the world. Don't leave a stone unturned. And remember, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. Beware of the vampire bat and the lover. I cannot go on. My mind and soul are preparing to leave for a better world. I leave the name of Dracula in your hands. I trust that, as an Englishman and a gentleman, you will tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Your honorable servant, Count Dracula.
Alfred looked up at the Count's portrait, and for a moment, he thought he saw the mouth move.
That portrait is almost alive. I'd swear I saw his face move just now.
Funny you should say that, old boy. The canvas seems a bit wet.
Ernest rubbed the canvas with a finger.
Looks awfully like blood.
Blood? Can't be. Probably just paint. This damp climate.
Unlikely.
Ernest smelt the substance on his finger, but said nothing.
Now, what do you think the Count meant when he said, "Come and visit me when you arrive"? After all, he knew he was dying.
He probably meant visit him in his grave.
You mean dig up his coffin?
It won't be too difficult. They only buried him a few days ago.
Do you realize what you're saying?
Absolutely, dear boy. It might be more fun than sleeping in those coffins they call beds.
Oh, all right. When shall we do it, then?
I know you're dying to get down to work, but I'm quite tired. How about tomorrow night? We can talk to the servants and find out more about the Count.
Good idea.
Alfred yawned and started unbuttoning his shirt.
By the way, did you mean it when you said you'd like to have the Count's bed?
Yes, dear boy. But I'd hate to spoil your fun.
No, really, Ernest, old chap. I insist.
Are you absolutely sure?
Quite, dear boy, quite.
Chapter 3. The Man in the Black Cape. Ernest leant over Alfred, who was snoring peacefully.
Boo!
Alfred screamed and sent the covers flying. Then he saw Ernest.
Oh, it's you.
Ernest, who was fully dressed, handed him his dressing gown.
Who did you expect it to be, dear boy? Count Dracula?
Alfred looked over at the portrait on the wall, which, in the daylight, seemed even more alive than ever, the manic eyes staring at him. Ernest gave him his razor and a shaving brush.
Hurry up, old chap. It's way past breakfast time, and we've got work to do. Now, I've done a little exploring. I got Rodolfo to show me where the Count is buried. I'm afraid his English is a little basic, but he's got the general idea. Oh, you've cut yourself, dear fellow. Blood is running down your neck.
As he took a handkerchief from Ernest, Alfred noticed the Count's eyes. Did they really light up at the sound of the word blood?
The family graveyard is outside the castle, up a narrow path by the river. Beautiful spot. Wouldn't mind being buried there myself.
They went down to the dining room and sat at an enormous wooden table, loaded with eggs, steak, cheese, liver and fish, along with bread, butter, honey, jam and coffee. During the meal, Mania and Rodolfo hovered over them like enormous bats with trays of food. Towards the end, old Gregory staggered in, carrying logs for the fire. Alfred saw his opportunity.
Gregory, my dear fellow, can we have a word?
Gregory grunted and came up to the table.
Can you tell us a little bit about the old chap? The Count, I mean. By the way, it's awfully dark in here. Don't you ever open the shutters?
A look of horror appeared on the old man's wrinkled face.
No, Sir Alfred. Not since the mistress died.
Oh, so he was married, was he? When did the good woman die?
45 years ago, Sir Alfred.
45 years ago? Did I understand correctly? My Romanian is a little rusty. Good heavens. Any children?
Gregory looked down at the floor and then whispered a reply.
I see. No children. And the Count never married again. He must have been madly in love.
Yes, quite mad. She was a very beautiful woman. Gentle eyes and long, shining red hair. A tragedy. The Count was heartbroken.
Are you sure you won't sit down, old boy? You look a little unsteady.
Gregory appeared not to hear.
When she died, the Count swore never to see the light of day again. After that, he only went out at night on Warrior, his white horse. When there was a good moon and a clear sky, of course.
Fascinating. Now, how did these nasty rumors start? About that vampire nonsense?
Suddenly, Gregory became very excited.
The master was a good man.
Oh, I'm sure he was, old boy. But all these dead people with funny teeth marks on their necks, who or what made them?
Gregory waved his thin old arms in the air.
Not the master! Not the master!
Oh, calm down, old chap. You'll do yourself an injury. I believe you.
Gregory got down on his knees and took Alfred's hand, which Alfred found rather embarrassing.
Sir Alfred Shackvillegones, I would die for the master.
Quite sure you would, old boy. Fine. Now we're going to need some spades. Any chance you could find us a couple?
Spades?
Yes, you see, Lord Ernest wants to go looking for truffles. Well, no. Actually, we have to see the Count. He told us to, in his letter.
Gregory drew away from Alfred.
It's the only way, really.
All right, Sir Alfred. But Rodolfo must not know.
Gregory looked round in the direction of the servants' rooms.
Oh, of course, we won't say a thing. Oh, and by the way, could you open the castle gates at about midnight tonight?
Yes, Sir Alfred. Anything for the master.
That night, Alfred and Ernest met as planned near the castle gates. As promised, Gregory turned the wheel to let them out. A strong wind had got up, which roared through the valley. They followed the path with difficulty, as the moon kept hiding behind large black rain clouds. Every so often, they heard the screech of an owl or some other night creature. As they entered the graveyard, the rusty old iron gate squealed. The place was sheltered from the wind by massive cypress trees, and was as silent as all the Draculas that lay buried there. Ernest pointed to a white marble gravestone.
That's the one.
As they approached the Count's grave, he looked up into the sky at the pale light from the moon, which threw a white veil over the crooked gravestones.
It's a full moon. They say it was on such nights that the Count went looking for human blood. Well, here we are. Got your spade, Alfred. Don't look so down, old boy. The exercise will do you good.
The soil on the grave was loose, and it was not long before they had dug a large hole. Ernest was the first to touch wood.
Oh, I believe we're about to meet the Count again. Is it just the moonlight, or are you looking rather pale, dear boy? I know it's well past your bedtime, but I wish you would be a little bit more enthusiastic about it all.
Are you sure we ought to do this, Ernest? I know that I wouldn't like to be disturbed just as I had started my eternal rest.
You're forgetting, dear boy. He's not at rest. Now help me take off the lid.
At that moment, they heard a screech above their heads. Ernest let out a cry.
The vampire bat! I'd recognize that sound anywhere.
Ernest lit a candle and held it over the Count's head. Now it was Alfred's turn to cry out.
Oh, my God! His eyes are still open, just like the portrait.
Stop staring and let's search him. I'm afraid we're going to have to turn him over. Just grab his left arm. That's funny. I'd swear he was warm.
They searched the coffin, but all they found was the Count's silver cane.
Well, look at that. The end of the cane is in the shape of Desmodus Rotundus.
I beg your pardon. Who's he?
The vampire bat. Look at those pointed ears and the teeth. Just hold the candle a little closer.
Ernest, this is not the time nor the place.
Beautiful piece of work. Nothing here, though. Pity.
They rolled the Count onto his back again. Ernest stopped dead.
Look, his eyes are closed. And I think... yes, I'm certain. I believe he's smiling. I can see his teeth. And what's that? Blood.
Blood?
Oops, sorry. I must have cut myself on a nail opening the coffin.
Oh, this whole business is beginning to disturb me.
They put the coffin back, covering it with soil, and made their way back to the castle. Just as they arrived, Alfred remembered something.
Oh, dash it. I completely forgot to tell old Gregory to let us in again.
At that moment, they heard the grinding of the castle gate. When it was wide enough, a white horse charged out, ridden by a man in a black cape and hood. They watched in amazement as the figure disappeared into the night. Ernest grabbed Alfred's arm.
You once asked me whether I believed in ghosts, old chap. Well, I have to say that I think I've changed my mind on the subject.
A ghost? What an article this is going to be. The only trouble is, the Globe won't believe a word of it.
They ran through the castle yard and up to their bedroom. As he was taking off his cloak, Alfred noticed the Count's portrait.
Look, Ernest. The Count's face. It seems so much more peaceful than before. Almost happy.
Who's imagining things now? Looks like an ordinary portrait to me.
Well, that's exactly what I mean.